You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome one and all to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. As always and as ever, I'm your host, James Edwards, this Saturday evening, November the 19th, as we broadcast to you live from our AM flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, online around the world via the internet, the Roku player, unlimited listen line. You can call in on your phone becomes a radio. So much you can do. So much you can do as my phone rings at the instance I go on the air. Let's silence that. Last week, a triumphant, celebratory show during which the entire staff and crew of the Political Cesspool opined on the victory of Donald Trump. And that would be all eight of us appeared in the same broadcast. Yours truly, Keith Alexander, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Winston Smith, correspondents Scoop Stanton, Jim Lancia, and Sean Bergen, and of course, our network owner and talk show host in his own right, Sam Bushman. All eight of us weighing in, offering reaction to Trump's historic victory. And I got to tell you, that euphoric feeling brought on by the defeat of Hillary Clinton is still quite palpable, even now, several days later. In fact, it made me think of a scene in Mel Gibson's movie, The Patriot. It came out in 2000. You remember The Patriot. Mel Gibson plays an American revolutionary soldier during the Revolutionary War. Right. And you all know our relationship with Mel's father, Hutton, of course, having appeared on the show several times, much to the chagrin of the media. Anyway, in Mel Gibson's movie, The Patriot, there's a scene at the very end that I thought about this week when reflecting on Hillary's defeat. It's a scene where the Patriots, the Americans, are at the siege of Yorktown, and they're about to take Yorktown. The British is about to surrender, and there's this scene where Tom Wilkinson, the British actor who plays General Cornwallis, is urged by his subordinate to surrender, and he looks down at the ground and shakes his head and asks rhetorically, how could it have come to this? Everything will change. Everything has changed. And then he actually sent his subordinate up to offer his sword and surrender, sort of like Hillary Clinton did that night when John Podesta addressed her troops and not the general herself. Let's listen to that clip, and I'm going to turn it over to Keith. I got it for you right now.
Dear Charlotte, the war has turned. General Cornwallis took flight with his army and moved north. We continued to engage the British, and in the months that followed, Cornwallis entrenched himself at Yorktown, Virginia. George Washington escaped from the north undetected and surrounded Cornwallis, who could not retreat to the seas. It was blocked off by our long-lost friends, who had finally arrived. Vive la France.
Vive la liberté. I beseech you. You must order the surrender.
How could it come to this? An army of rabble. Peasants. Everything will change. Everything has changed.
Though he eventually surrendered, Cornwallis himself hid in shame, appointing his subordinate to relinquish his sword.
I thought, Keith, and I get chills. That is a great movie. That really is a great movie, and it's a favorite of mine. I remember when it came out in 2000. Pat Buchanan was running that year, ironically, and it gives me chills even to listen to that scene. I think there's a lot of parallels between, of course, in our analogy, Donald Trump is Mel Gibson's army, And of course, Clinton is Cornwallis. In
now, we're Mel Gibson's army.
Well, that's right.
The Trump supporters are the peasants and the rabble.
I guess Trump
that
would
Cornwallis
be Washington.
Was talking about.
Trump would be Washington. But anyway, do you think there's some parallels there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the rabble have taken over. That's the way that the left and the elite establishment looks upon Trump's victory. That's how they look upon the Brexit vote. And that's how they're destined to look at the upcoming electoral contests that are on the horizon in France. Marine Le Pen hopefully will have the same result as Donald Trump. Viktor Orban in Hungary, they're having the re-election in Austria because it was a dead heat, apparently, the last time they had it.
Well, and there were some... what could we say? Some irregularities with the tally.
Well,
of that,
you know, doesn't that
election
seem to be the way of the left? It's like, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. In America, it tends to happen in minority voting districts. And I don't know how they actually pull off the coup in Europe, but they're doing the same thing. Massive electoral fraud over there as well. George Soros is from Europe, and believe me, George Soros is spending plenty of money in these European elections just like he did in the last, in the presidential election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But getting back to the Mel Gibson show, and I mean the Mel Gibson movie, The Patriot, and the depiction of Lord Cornwallis, when Cornwallis surrendered, the English band played a song popular in the day entitled "The World Turned Upside Down." Now, that's exactly the way that the left sees it. That's why we're seeing all these protests. They never thought that the white working class of America would rise up and find a voice and effectively challenge their hegemony. But lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Hold on to your hats, folks. It's a new sheriff in town.
And that movie, of course, when we won our independence in that Revolutionary War, of course, we lost it again in 1865, so it was short-lived. But, you know, America now perhaps having its own renaissance. And what's interesting is that, of course, during the Revolutionary War, the American patriots had been doing the fighting, and finally the Europeans came, the French particularly came, and helped us finish
well,
off.
Basically, we didn't need the French for anything except their navy, and that's what turned the tide at Yorktown.
Right.
If it had not been for the French naval blockade, what would have happened is that the English navy would have come and rescued Cornwallis and his troops, and they would have been able to fight another day under new circumstances. But because of the French involvement, particularly that one missing element, the Navy, the colonists did not have a Navy to speak of. That is basically the crucial key factor that allowed us to win then. The crucial factor that allowed Trump to win was being able to cobble a coalition between red state Southern whites for the most part and blue state Reagan Democrat whites in that firewall of states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania.
But it does certainly reverberate back to Europe. And the point I'm trying to make with this Patriot analogy is, yes, historically speaking, the French came and that was the death knell. We had been doing the fighting. Now, in the current year, as it were,
the Europeans, worm has turned.
The Europeans have been doing the fighting for nationalism, and now the Americans have finally caught up. And what is happening now, according to USA Today, a populist wave is sweeping through Europe now as a result of Trump's victory. We're going to break that down and tell you what's going on in the Mother Continent. Very exciting, folks. Stay tuned.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, Inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free Vigor Score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so we were talking earlier about the movie The Patriot, Americans doing the fighting, the French come at the end and help us seal the victory. In recent years, with regards to the nationalist spring, it has been the European countries doing all the fighting. And now, the Americans with the
Donald Trump campaign. Made the first big breakthrough.
Right. And now, it's what we've done here is aiding what they've been doing for years. USA Today reports Donald Trump's populist wave sweeps through Europe. Story out of Berlin, as Western Europe gears up for a string of elections over the next year, right-wing parties are seizing on Donald Trump's victory as proof that a strong nationalistic stance against trade and immigration will propel them into power. A wave of populism has already spread to Eastern Europe, where countries that include Croatia, Hungary, Poland, and Slovenia, where Melania Trump is from, have right-wing governments. Further west, Austria next month could elect Europe's first far-right head of state since World War II. Norbert Hofer of the Freedom Party narrowly lost a race, which you were talking about earlier, Keith, for the largely ceremonial post in April, but a new election was ordered because of alleged irregularities in the counting of the ballots. France, Germany, and the Netherlands, which hold elections in 2017, have also seen a U.S.-style shift in support from mainstream parties to anti-establishment nationalists. This trend comes amid growing anxiety over weak job prospects tied to globalization, as well as a migrant crisis seen as a threat to security and a drain on social welfare benefits. So that's out of the USA Today, Keith. It seems as though what's been happening in Europe finally washed up here in the Atlantic, and with Trump we're sending a tidal wave back of support towards Europe, and it's really bumped them up. You've already got Viktor Orban, Vladimir Putin. You're going to have Hofer in Austria. You've got Marine Le Pen, who has already reached out to Donald Trump. Obviously, Nigel Farage, our friend Philip de Winter in Belgium, Geert Wilders, and so many others. I don't think it's too much to say, Keith, to assume that Trump's victory and the way it's poured kerosene onto what's going on in Europe will change civilizational direction for the West. It may save Western civilization, at least for the foreseeable future.
Well, we certainly hope so. I do think that it was a cataclysmic, tectonic shift in politics as usual in the Western world. I guess you could say that the shot heard around the world, the first event that showed that we could win was the Brexit vote in England. But there was fear that that was just an outlier and it was a very narrow election and maybe it didn't really indicate anything. At least that's what the left and the establishment, the globalists in Europe and in America and the rest of the West were hoping for. Then Trump comes in and lays a knockout blow on the globalist group here in America, the globalist elitist versus the populist nationalist. Populism and nationalism scored a stunning victory with the Trump election, and this is heartening all of the populists and nationalists in Europe and elsewhere to know that, you know, if it can happen in America, which was basically the establishment, was the head of the beast. This is where the troops and the money were coming from to fight all these Middle Eastern wars, to be the police force for the world. You know, you notice that we don't no longer fight wars, we fight police actions ever since the Korean War. Well, that's police action is code language for globalism. In other words, the United States military has been co-opted without the approval or the validation of the American people to be the police force for one world government. Well, the primary player in one world government, you know, this is where the United Nations is, for example, in the United States of America, has fallen to the populists and nationalists. And of course, that is the best news possible to other nations that want to move their nations in a populist nationalistic direction. If it can happen in America, it can happen anywhere.
And of course, it's good. The news is good for those of us with common sense and reason and healthy instincts, but not everybody is celebrating Donald Trump's victory and the rise of nationalism throughout the West, here in America and in the mother continent. American society has produced, of course, as you know, Keith, a generation of weaklings and sissies, and they are...
And that's not an action, by the way. That's what the left intended.
Sure, sure. Suicides. So... It says that the number of phone calls coming in after Trump's election to suicide hotlines has been an all-time high. And, you know, leftists respond like toddlers having temper tantrums when things don't happen. But this is what, as you mentioned, what decades of leftist education has created. Precious, entitled little wimps.
Well, it all goes back to the civil rights movement. And if you will look at the civil rights movement, that's the first time we saw all of these large-scale protests out in the street. Protests out in the street of, you know, First Amendment protected and whatnot. But that was not the normal, natural way to accomplish societal change before the civil rights movement. Now, why did the paradigm shift in the civil rights movement? Well, the civil rights movement happened along at the very same time that you saw this quantum leap in the development of mass media, television, radio, and then later on followed by the computer, by the internet and things like this. Well, Jewish control of the media, all of the major movie studios now have Jewish CEOs. They also had Jewish CEOs back in the day in the 50s. You know, Jack Warner, Warner Brothers, the Warner Brothers were Jewish. You know, MGM, Metro Goldwyn Mayer, Goldwyn and Samuel B. Goldwyn and Louis B. Mayer were Jewish. The only holdout studio was Walt Disney, Disney Productions, until Walt Disney died, and then it was taken over by Michael Eisner and the Sons of Israel, and of course you get the Jewish left-wing slant as a result of that. Also,
which is, of course, the problem. The problem isn't that they're Jewish. It is the fact that they are predominantly left-wing. That's right.
Well, if they were, it just seems to be an inherently genetic trait. An ethnic or racial trait, and that is why we are wary of them. If all of a sudden they turned into conservatives, or if the conservatives, the true conservatives among them, now not the neocons, but the true conservatives actually took control, used the media, used ABC, NBC, and whatnot to be engine or tools for conservative change, we'd be all for them.
That's right.
But what has happened, though, what happened in the Civil Rights Movement, NBC, ABC, CBS, and PBS, they were the only games in town back then, they covered all of these demonstrations. So demonstrations, rather than being an exercise in fecklessness, which they would be if they did not receive television coverage, became a primary means of affecting societal change, and they were manipulated. You know, we've said on this show many times before how the cameras didn't start to roll until the protesters provoked a response from the police, and then the cameras rolled to show how brutal and how heartless Southern whites and the police establishment were to these poor, saintly-looking black people who always dressed the same. They had horn-rimmed glasses, white shirts, single-colored ties, single-colored trousers and whatnot. All of this, you know, that was right out of central casting. They learned it up at the Highlander Folk School. Well, fast forward to today. They're still using the same tactics. They've still got the same playbook. What did they do as soon as Trump got in? We started having all these protests showing all these inconsolable crybabies, as you said, whining and crying because they didn't get their own way. And the message that is being handed to the American people by the news media is we've got to do something about pacifying them. We've got to move in their direction and make them feel safe. Baloney. We'll talk more about this after these words from our sponsors.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
With the resignation of Nevada Democratic Senator Harry Reid, New York's Charles Schumer is prepared to become Senate Minority Leader, to the disgust of both conservatives and principled liberals alike. Schumer has never held an adult job outside of elected office, notes The Intercept. He has done more than anyone except Bill and Hillary Clinton to intertwine Wall Street and the Democratic Party. He raises millions and millions of dollars from the finance industry, both for himself and other Democrats. He voted for the Wall Street bailout in 2008. 7 years earlier, he had voted for the so-called USA Patriot Act, and as a member of the House of Representatives, was the chief sponsor of its Clinton-era predecessor, the post-OKC bombing Omnibus Counterterrorism Act of 1995. Reacting to complaints that the 1995 counterterrorism bill compromised civil liberties, Schumer insisted that in wartime it's different than peacetime. In terrorism time, it's different than peacetime. He has defended torture and the NYPD's surveillance of Muslims, which Donald Trump has cited as a potential national model. In 2002, Schumer voted in favor of invading Iraq. He is also one of the most consistent and outspoken congressional opponents of the individual right to armed self-defense.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party, .us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, still celebrating the defeat of Hillary Clinton. I think the defeat of Hillary Clinton, as much as the victory of Donald Trump, although I guess you can't have one without the other. I don't know which I'm more excited about.
There are plenty
about.
Of other Hillary Clintons to replace her. That's true. People just That's as true. Bad, but there is one and only
that,
Donald Trump.
That actually makes makes sense to me. So I guess the victory of Donald Trump we're celebrating more, but by God, they both feel good.
It's not like she defeated somebody that was decent, okay? I mean, like he defeated somebody
right.
that was a acceptable alternative.
It wasn't Davy Crockett versus Andrew Jackson.
Right.
Where it's two good guys. Well, Brad Griffin, a.k.a. Hunter Wallace at Occidental Descent, wrote something very insightful. I'll read it very quickly and get Keith's response. If you frown upon the commissars of political correctness, frown upon the hordes of crybaby social justice warriors, frown upon the degenerate virtue-signaling celebrities, frown upon the sanctimonious conservatives, the court jesters, the talking heads, the whole rotten system and its worthless elite pollsters, and maybe above all the media, the election of Donald Trump was your moment of triumph. Just consider, in a presidential landslide election, Republican strategists and consultants rallied behind a third-party spoiler named Evan McMullen, who, while not taking Utah from Trump and delivering it to Hillary, did win enough votes to cost Trump Minnesota's 10 electoral votes. That's something everybody was focusing on, McMullen's potential effect in Utah, but Trump narrowly, by a very razor-thin margin, lost Minnesota, and McMullen did get enough votes there to turn it into a blue state. Minnesota would have been a Trump state, a red state, had not been for McMullen. Anyway, the geniuses declared war on Trump's populist and nationalist supporters, who carried them to victory in the Rust Belt and created a rift that likely cost both Trump and Kelly Ayotte a victory in a tight race in New Hampshire. Kelly Ayotte, the senator, I'm glad she lost. She lost by 700 votes in New Hampshire after opposing Trump. Anyway, if the conservative brain trust hadn't viciously attacked their own nominee, his victory would have been much bigger still. But let's talk about that victory. George Bush won 271 electoral votes in 2000 and 286 in 2004. Donald Trump won 306 electoral votes with conservatism incorporated, a third of the Senate, and a fourth of all elected Republicans, plus the never-Trump spoiler candidate, all conspiring against him. There's a reason why these cucks are held in such contempt by the Republican-based voters. They don't even know what they're talking about. Remember how Trump was a racist who was supposed to get destroyed by minorities? Well, he won more of the black and Hispanic vote than did Mitt Romney or John McCain. Donald Trump had the radical idea that he would campaign as an unabashed champion of the interests of the white working class, who make up about 40% of the electorate. He said that he was going to show these fools how to win. And he did. The white man's revolution was the greatest finger into the eye of the establishment in our history. And it was a smackdown that the people will never forget. Well, that's certainly true. And he's not backing off now, Keith. We touched on this last week. Major news outlets are reporting, and you can take that for the grain of salt that it's worth, I guess, but they are reporting that the Trump transition team is said to be moving forward, quote-unquote, rapidly on plans to build the wall and implement a Muslim registry. Thank God. Now, those are two things that you might think would be campaign devices to throw some red meat to your base during an election cycle that you would forget about once you win. But the transition team is all of 2 weeks old, and they're moving rapidly on the border wall and Muslim registry.
You're absolutely right. It's a mark of genius to do what he's doing with the wall, because he needs to produce good middle-class sustaining jobs for the Reagan Democrats. What better way to kill two birds with one stone than to provide all these new jobs building the wall on the Mexican border. That's, you know, he's got to do it, and that way he gets to fulfill his primary campaign promise, which was to build the wall and to get the jobs that the people in that northern firewall of states were hoping to get. You can, you know, they can come down to the Mexican border and work for a while, make that money. Then he's got the infrastructure program that Newt Gingrich has mentioned that will also get jobs all over the nation, including the Rust Belt. Let me give also, before I forget it, credit where credit is due. The increase in the black vote, I think he got 6% more black voters voting for him than did Mitt Romney. Well, that may well have been the margin that swung Michigan to him because
Good
of
point.
Detroit. You know, Detroit is all black virtually, and so are most of the inner suburbs of Detroit. And the 6%, he won by 13,000 votes.
Man,
I would
and
imagine
that's nothing in a statewide race, obviously. That 13,000 may sound like a lot, but that's nothing. That's less
I know,
than zero.
And the 6% increase in the black vote in Detroit and its environs may have been what pushed him over the edge to win that 13,000 votes. So if it did, hats off to the black population down there. At least we're making some inroads. Basically, if you want to work for a living, if you want to earn your own living, and you want to be paid a decent wage for doing so, you should be voting for Donald Trump. You should have voted for Donald Trump. If you want to stay on welfare and get entitlements and sleep till noon, you should have voted for Hillary. So I'm glad to see some movement in that way. But, you know, what we've got to start talking about strategy and what is practical about implementing the types of changes in America that Trump's voters are looking for. Now, the infrastructure is one thing, but we do need those manufacturing sector jobs. We already have a national debt that is north of $20 trillion. If they tell you that it's not, then they're fibbing to you. It's over $20 trillion. I think they were saying $19.6 trillion or something, but that's an underestimation in my opinion. That means we don't need to have massive new government spending as the panacea. That is what Obama was proposing. We need to bring back private sector jobs, the jobs that pay middle class salaries in the private sector are manufacturing sector jobs. You can do that by putting this 35% tariff on the manufacturers who manufacture goods overseas. Those goods, when they come in, I don't care whether it's Ford or whether it's Mercedes or whoever it is, if you manufacture a good that you bring to the United States, you're going to pay a 35% tariff on it, and it will take a while, maybe a couple of years, before they come to heel. But when they do come to heel and start building these factories here, that's when we will get, one, real change, and two, that's when the globalists will freak out because they have more or less warned Trump not to try this. Don't go there. Just like the Saudis recently told him, don't stop buying our oil. Well, once he gets our fossil fuel industries up and running the way that they should be, sweeps out the EPA and all the impediments that they've been throwing in the path of fossil fuel producers and refiners to sell their products in America, we will be energy independent. We will no longer need or have a vital interest in the Middle East that is going to require us to go to war. That's leaving out the 800-pound gorilla on the couch, which is Israel over there. That's the only thing that will be drawing us in there, and Trump apparently is going to be a big defender of Israel, but that was smart because it has blunted some of the mainstream media criticism. If he were anti-Israel, forget about it. They would have piled on so bad that
it is ironic because it certainly being in the paw of Israel, it doesn't serve America's vital interest. But had he not campaigned that way, and he may very well, and I believe he does, He's not with us on that issue, and we're not with him on that issue. We're with him on so much more. But Sheldon Adelson put in, I believe I read, $25 million the last week to 10 days of the campaign. So, you know, you're talking about some of these states where he won by a narrow margin. It all adds up.
That's where, you know, money talks and BS walks, as they say. And that's what look at the Democratic Party. Look at the history of the Democratic Party. White Southerners used to be one of the key constituent groups.
All of our grandparents were Democrats.
Exactly.
Here in the South.
And then the Southerners suddenly got moved out. As my father said, he didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left him. Well, what happened? What happened was Jewish power and influence, money came in and said, we don't like the influence of these people in our party. They are a drag. They are conservative. They are, not right on the race issue. So we need to get rid of them. We need to throw them overboard, which is what happened. Now they're doing the same thing to white union workers up north, and it's come back to bite them on the posterior, James, in the Trump election.
Speaking of grandfathers, of course, I don't buy the sanctioned, sanitized history of World War II, but there is one interesting quote out there. My grandfather didn't fight the Nazis, so I could be called a Nazi for thinking like my grandfather. That's a great one to think about. All right, we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. Second show. We may have to separate this show into BT and AT, before Trump and after Trump.
Right.
Because this is the second show AT as far as that goes. But we were talking in the last segment, mentioning the headline that the Trump transition team is said to be rumored to be moving rapidly on plans to build the wall and enact a Muslim registry. I hope they do. And I've seen a lot of articles this week, Keith, from the left talking about how, and Trump actually doubled down and said he plans to deport 3 million immediately, as in you would have to imagine the end of January when he gets sworn in. That was he was quoted this week, certainly after his win, saying he immediately plans an immediate deportation of 3 million. And all these leftist outlets, all the same ones who opposed him, that he owes nothing to, they're pretending to care about families. And that's just too much for me. Watching these liars pretend to care about families being broken up by deportations. Two things about that.
What about the families that have lost the ability to support themselves because of globalization?
Well, it's more that's a good point, Keith, but it's more than that. Two things, though. They're pretending to care about these families being broken up. Number one, deporting illegal aliens isn't even remotely controversial to anyone with a square head on their shoulders. They shouldn't have broken our laws. When you break the law, there are consequences. So if the parents or the mother or the father of these children come over here and they know they broke the law, what do they expect to happen? They're going to get punished by any administration that has the decency to enforce our laws and protect our people. And it looks like Donald Trump's administration may be the first one to do that in my lifetime. But here's the thing. How are they going to get broken up? Are the parents just going to leave and leave the kids at home in America by themselves? No, they'll take their kids with them, you would imagine. So how are they getting broken up, Keith?
Well, the unspoken premise there is that, of course, if the child stays here, then the parents have to stay here. And
I didn't know the child gets to pick where they live.
No. That's just leftist reasoning, backward reasoning by the left. But, just in the defense of these illegal aliens, unfortunately, it would not be wrong for them to say, look, the whole approach of the United States government has been to welcome us in, and we've been misled by that. Well, that's absolutely true. We've had a traitorous U.S. government that has not enforced our laws and has treated this lawbreaking as if it's the new normal. And that's a problem. But let me say this. When Trump gets in, if you've committed a violent crime and you are an illegal alien, you better start packing your bags.
And even if you haven't, hey, listen, as far as I'm concerned, if you haven't committed a crime other than the crime of coming over here without properly coming through the channels, then you got to go too. But
he's going to do it in steps. I'm sure he is.
That's right.
His priority is going to be to get the violent people, the drunk drivers that have killed people and stuff like this. They're out. The next step will be those who are illegal, and he needs to not pull his punches at all on this. He needs to get them all out, because if he doesn't get all the illegals out, they will stay here, they will reproduce, and we'll have a majority-minority nation. And as we always say, you can't have a first-world nation with a third-world population. That is how they will get us a third-world population.
You are rightly looking at that from an ethno-nationalist point of view. And that's very valid, and that's what we are. We're ethno-nationalists.
That's what every other, that's what Mexico does.
Well, that's true, but Trump will look at it from the perspective of a civic nationalist, law and order and things of that nature. But just electorally speaking, the Republicans will never win a statewide race in a state where Hispanics, illegal aliens, et cetera, are the majority. And you'll never win another national race if you keep getting demographically swamped. But there's one more thing I wanted to say, Keith.
Go ahead.
Well, just about the breaking up of families. So they broke the law. They got to go. You're not breaking up the family. The kids will presumably go with the parents. I can't imagine a mother or a father leaving their five-year-old at home saying, oh, we've been broken up.
I mean, well, we'll be back in 10 years.
But the left, pretending to care about these families, they have been working to destroy families for generations. through feminism, through these no-fault divorce. They love breaking up families. So why all of a sudden are they pro-family? Abortion, murder of children, they love breaking up families.
Look, they're just being expedient. It's just like suddenly when Trump uses the P word, they're the defenders of traditional morality and virtue and
virginity and whatnot. Lena Dunham and Miley Cyrus and their people, spokespeople.
Yeah, right. And these rappers that can't say two words without the third one being a curse word. This is, the, you know, it's all so palpably ridiculous. That they try to use the Constitution when they're actually against the Constitution. They try to use morality when they're actually interested in destroying traditional morality. They pretend to be the defenders of the family when they are the chief enemies of the family, because they see the family rightfully as the foundational building block of a society. And if you want to bring down a society, bring down the families that are the basis upon which your civilization is built. That's what they do. But you know, we need to understand that the left is going to try now to use the Trojan horse strategy. They're going to try to get their people into Trump's administration. That's what Barack Obama was doing when he took Donald Trump into the White House extra times and was showing him what a large staff there was.
It's not
going to
happen. Not going to happen with Trump. And I'll tell you, Elliot Cohen.
But they're trying it.
Well, Elliot Cohen put in a call, and he said, don't even try to get in. He said they were incredibly rude. They said, we won, you lost. Don't bother calling us.
And Elliot Cohen is a Jewish neocon, and quite frankly, you say, is that redundant? Is there any type of neocon that isn't Jewish? But anyway, them neocons.
There are.
They are neocons. They want to get back in. They're like the rats that left the sinking ship, and now they see the ship isn't sinking, and they're trying to sneak back on board and pretend
work.
That they're not.
It would normally
they
work.
Didn't desert to begin with, but they did. Nikki Haley is now all for Trump.
I don't. Yeah, I heard she's been rumored to maybe get some sort of a position. I hope she's one of the worst.
Well, I think this is what the left is trying to float out there, but. You know, John Bolton is one of the worst neocons around.
Bolton
we don't need
there.
John Bolton. We don't need Nikki Haley. We don't need any of these people that turned on Trump. Basically, those people.
And Trump has a long memory, as he is wont to remind people. He has a long memory. I think
he's smart not to play all his cards face up right now, because if he did,
that's right.
They just right now he's.
It's
getting
not like
something.
The media's giving him a break though. But
well, they're giving
right.
him something of a break because
they're reporting.
They're certainly reporting that he is considering these neocons and these traitors and these liberals and these like Bob Corker, for example, for Secretary of State. Give me a break. Nikki Haley for Secretary of State, give me a break. We need Jeff Sessions, who was in there from the beginning, who will have an America First approach to running the office of State.
Joe Arpaio as Director of Homeland Security, that'd be a dream. I can even get
Larry Arn, the president of Hillsdale College, as the head of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. That would be, you know, quite frankly, the educational establishment is so riddled through and through with liberals, finding anybody that's even vaguely conservative is difficult. And, you know,
well,
I had to say, you know, out of a bad lot, that may be the best.
Here's
of a
the
bad
thing
lot
to remember,
people
though.
That know how to. Can you think of any other college president that is not a liberal?
Well, there's Glenn McConnell in South Carolina, and he's wishy-washy, but he's with the College of Charleston. He's been on the show. There may be some, but not of major universities, and certainly not of Ivy League caliber universities. But the thing to remember, Trump's got to fill thousands of posts. Now, obviously, the cabinet doesn't constitute thousands of positions. It constitutes quite a few, but thousands of positions. There's going to be some people with whom we disagree with regard to their selection. But I'll tell you, Trump is going to reward those who are loyal to him. And those who were loyal to him in the campaign will be loyal to him now. And he is going to have that long memory come into play when it comes with these worms that are trying to weasel back in.
He needs to flush out the weasels and the worms, and he needs to get – and it has to be really from the ground up, from, you know, the whole Washington bureaucratic establishment, from the people that, are in the typing pool on up. He needs to get the Democrats out. He needs to get the liberals out. And he needs to replace them with nationalists and populists that will be consistent with his theory of government. If he does that, he will succeed. If he doesn't do that, he will have a built-in fifth column that will be trying to bring him down, and they'll probably succeed.
He has good instincts, Keith. He's had it all his life, and I think he is going to run the country as he has run his businessmen, as his business. He will run the country as he ran his businesses, and that is, frankly, I think with the shades of authoritarianism, and that's a good thing. We need a strong man in the White House.
Well, we've got such a predominance of liberals in positions of power and influence in America, in private industry, in the entertainment industry, in academia. We certainly need to have a reconfiguring of government employment in the D.C. area. You saw that the District of Columbia, I think, Trump got, what, less than 10% of the vote? That shows you that there needs to be a swamp draining of major proportions in the federal government and in, you know, those environments. Because that's where a lot of those people live there. And if they don't live there, they live in these Tony suburbs in Virginia, Maryland. Basically, he needs to make sure that those people are looking for work. Right.
We got to go for the first hour. If you like the first hour, the second 2 hours are going to be even better. So stay tuned for them.
Go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.